off with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
The automatic pilot on our plane took over, and that's what made us go on our side so we could avoid that plane's turbulence. Because if we hadn't done that, show him what he said we would have done.
If we hadn't done that, we would have gone, ooh. I'm sorry. Ooh. What does that mean? You mean we would have gone down? What pilot? What kind of bedside manner is? Ooh. No, not okay.
No one wants to see their pilot making that finger motion on the plane.
No.
Searching for sanity.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis and RV Tom rounding out the crew. Okay, so here we are in 2026, and got an interesting story. I mean, it happened a while ago, but a pilot and the airline that he was working with, I guess, sued each other because it was a goose aircraft, a twin-engine old classic seaplane type of thing, right? And it crashed. Both engines went out on it, and it ended up being the result was water in the fuel. It caused the plane to lose power, and it crashed. And now the airline's blaming the pilot. The pilot's blaming the airline, and it was because it got some bad gas, according to the story. What happened, Dennis? The main pumps were out, and they had to go to a 55-gallon drum of fuel or something, and it had water in it. Is that what happened, or what?
Yeah, basically, the fuel drums were brought in because of a problem with whatever the tanking system that they had at this remote location.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this is not happening in Florida. This was somewhere up in Canada.
Right. Fairly remote area.
Yeah. And it's probably pretty common for them to have fuel drums, brought out for servicing of an aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just like if you were going to do some island hopping down through the Caribbean, you potentially could have this problem.
Well, someplace in the Caribbean, you may actually have to have tanks of fuel sent in for you because they just simply don't have avgas in some of these remote locations.
Right. But some of them do, but it may not be the best gas in the world because they'll just take what they can get sometimes. And
you gotta, how long was it there?
Correct.
How is it stored?
And this is one of those cases where they pulled out the 55-gallon drum, ended up having water in the fuel, and that's what they're saying caused the failure of the engines. It was bad fuel, and now the pilot's blaming the airline's blaming the pilot. I'm not sure who is to blame in that regard. I'm sure you could find, reasons for either side, but what they did say is that the fuel that they reverted to, the 55-gallon drums had been stored sitting up, and if they were been on the side, they possibly would not have had this water in the fuel issue. And I was like, okay, why is that exactly? What is the deal?
Well, if you've ever seen 55-gallon fuel drums, they have a lip, kind of like around the top,
right?
And in there's threaded inserts or bungs that they can open to insert the pump or the hose or whatever they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were having those sitting up, water's on there. If they didn't get the bungs weren't tightened down, or maybe they weren't sealed properly, water would pool on the top and potentially could get into that tank. And how long were they sitting? How long were they upright?
Right.
We don't really know. There's a lot of questions there, but the whole lawsuit's really interesting. So the fact is, you had contaminated fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Who was responsible for testing that fuel? Was that the responsibility of the airline because they provided the fuel at this remote location? Was it the pilot responsible for sumping the fuel on the airplane prior to taking off? I mean, that's seems fairly typical, but in an airline situation, you don't see the pilots going out with a little
gas
jar
checkers.
Fuel checking. I mean, Tom, you guys basically had the trust that the airline or the servicing company, the fuel was always tested and QC'd on the fuel trucks or on the hose hookups, and you didn't actually go out and sump your tanks before every flight on the airline, right?
As we would do with a typical walk around, right, for GA. Is that the case or what there, Tom?
In the smaller airlines, I could see maybe like a Twin Otter or something like that, but on a 777, I wouldn't be getting up the ladder either with my first officer or IRO. Yeah. We trust our fueling company to check our fuel and make sure we had the correct amount.
Right. I would imagine, I mean, that would fall under their their type of walk around or checklist that they have to do, right? They got to check the fuel. Is that part of their protocol? I would imagine, you know, for the big planes for sure, right?
They do. They check, you know, there's sometimes, depending where you're at in the world, you can have, you know, Jet A fuel, you can have, you know, depending if you're filled in a military base, JP-4. So mm-hmm. It all depends. But yeah, it's always, I've never had it. Now, we did have an airplane one time with fuel. It came in from, it came in from South America and it did have fuel contamination.
Yeah.
We got a warning on that, and we came on down. So they had to drain the tanks and everything. It didn't affect our flight. I mean, we were already on our descent when a light came on saying fuel contamination, but it turns out there was some kind of impurity in there. But
right. So there's sensors in those big planes that would pick up something like that potentially and just say, hey, your fuel isn't, ain't quite right. I don't know what it would
sense. But a Grumman Goose is more akin to a, you know, civilian twin-engine airplane than it is to an airliner.
Well, so, you mentioned like the Twin Otters, which were real popular throughout the Caribbean and stuff. Yeah. That'd be a similar type of thing.
Yeah, very similar.
Would you rely on the pilot in that case? Wouldn't they need to do a walk around and do a fuel check as you would typically do in even smaller planes? Isn't that part of the walk around protocol there, Dennis, or what?
I would imagine it would be, you know, your responsibility as a pilot. I mean, it's a small enough airplane that you can reach up and sample the fuel, although on a Twin Otter, that is still a pretty good-sized airplane, and you'll definitely need a ladder, but it depends. But the whole thing is, it's like, you know, the pilot's filed a lawsuit against the airline, but the airline filed a lawsuit against him saying that he should have never accepted the flight because apparently there was a problem with the landing gear system earlier in the day, and they're saying it was grossly negligent of him to continue the flight. But I'd argue that if there was a problem with landing gear, it's a seaplane.
Right.
You know, the landing gear's retracted. You know, we don't know. Were they going into a paved runway after picking up at a remote location? And in that case, then definitely the landing gear would be an issue.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's counter lawsuits because the airline's trying to sue the pilot for crashing the airplane and causing the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in lost revenue and obviously a lost airplane.
Right.
And the pilot's trying to say, hey, you know, you sent me bad gas. I had no choice. I'm in a wilderness seaplane operation in the middle of nowhere. Where else am I supposed to get the gas?
Well, do we even know, like, that particular aircraft got two engines? I mean, if you were able to check the fuel, you would look for the same blue avgas kind of thing. And if you saw any
Grumman Goose,
water in it or bubbles?
I don't see anything in here that this was like a turbine conversion. So I'm assuming it's a, you know, avgas powered. And so, you'd be looking for blue fuel. You'd be looking for water droplets when you sump the tank.
Right. Which would have shown up if you were to check it, I would think.
And
there could be some issues there.
Your FBO has a responsibility to test the fuel too. They're supposed to be dipping the tanks and checking that on a daily basis, checking fuel filters. So I'd think that they would want to test those cans as well.
All right. Well, how does this apply to you? We'll talk more about it next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.